appreciate the opportunity that you people have given me to stand before you this morning and break the bread of life. There's nothing that's as important to human beings than the message that God gives to man that they might be saved and live eternally.
Amen.
As I grow older, my mind goes back and I begin to think about my life. At the age that I am, I've got a lot of things to think about. But one of the things that I think about is, what testimony did I hear that touched my heart? I was thinking as we studied in class today, Brother Glenn mentioned about the Apostle Paul, Saul, and that he stood one time and witnessed the death of one of God's men by the name of Stephen.
Amen.
And how that what Stephen said that Paul made mention of the fact later on, I witnessed that fact. In other words, I heard the message of the living God.
Amen.
And I guess if I go back and think about my greatest testimony I ever heard was back in 1952. My dad lay on his deathbed in Shawnee, Oklahoma, in the hospital. I lived in Oklahoma City, and I told the wife, I said, when I get off of work, I'm going to go down and see Dad. So I journeyed down there, and as I walked into the hospital, my sister from North Carolina, the doctor had told Mom to get the family that Dad's very grave ill. And she had come there, and her and Mom was walking out of the room as I came up. And Mom said, son, watch your dad while we go eat. We haven't eaten. I said, all right. Remember this. In 1952, I was a lost man. And as I walked in that room, my dad had been in a coma for over a week. Had not murmured anything, just laid there. And as I walked into that room, this is what I heard. Which house is mine? The house of David? My dad was a Christian. I was a lost son. God used that man to bring a testimony.
Amen.
I've never forgotten it.
Amen.
That brings up this fact. A greater friend a person could never have than someone who was concerned about their soul. As I said, I've looked back over my life and I've thought about the many friends that I've had. Some of them, I've classified them as great friends. Brother Glenn and his family is one of them. But you know, Brother Glenn, as great a friend as you are, you're not the greatest friend of all. I want to call our attention, if I might, this morning to the book of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 13. Then we're going to turn over to the book of Proverbs 18, and we're going to read one verse, the 24th verse. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, if you will, turn the book to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we now bow in Thy presence, we thank Thee, Father, for Jesus Christ, the Savior of our soul. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the gift that You gave Him, Heavenly Father, that we through faith might live eternally. O great God, we pray for those requests that have been made from time to time, some this morning. O great God, You know each and every one, and we pray, Father, that Your will shall be done in each. Again, Heavenly Father, we pray for our country, the leaders, we pray, Lord. We ask, O great God, that the decisions that they make will be according to Your blessed will. We know, Heavenly Father, that Your will shall be done in all things. Bless, we pray, Heavenly Father, the word that we've read this morning. Use it, we ask, O great God, to Your honor and to Your glory. We'll give Thee the honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I said, as great a friend as I've had in this life, the greatest friend that I've ever had is Jesus Christ. Several years ago, my youngest son, my wife went to church. I was ill that day and couldn't go. We lived in Earlsboro at that time and went to church in Seminole. So Mom got our five children ready, that before the last one came along. Got them ready and to go to church, and she said, I'm going to go home with Francis. Francis was her older sister, who was also a member of the church. My wife, because we had so many children, and they were children, and we know how children are, no matter where they're at, she would make them sit down beside her. And we generally had to have a full pew. And if they'd go to get down and Ruly and what have you, she'd peach this first one that sat beside her. This is a fact. And she'd say, pass it down. Needless to say, it got their attention. But my youngest son, that particular Sunday, for some reason, I don't know why, I wasn't there. Now my eye water, so I'll eventually and occasionally try to wipe it. But he went on the back pew and went to sleep. Now, he was about 4.5, 5 years old at that time. Well, whenever church was over with, Mom got the kids, you know, and put them in the car, and of course, her sister and their kids, they was what have you. Steve was on the back row asleep. they got to the house, and they got to looking for kids. And they found them all but Steve. They got real excited. They got plumb out of reason. I can just see my wife. We got to go get Steve. Where is he? So they jumped in the car and they went back to the church. And as they drove up and still went to the door, they found the window on the door broke out. And they looked inside and there was a chair that he had pulled up to the door. And there were some songbooks that he had taken and broken the window out. And he crawled out. Just so happened, there was a policeman driving down the road, down the street. And he stopped and said, "Son," he said, "where are you going?" He said, "I'm going home." He said, "Where do you live?" He said, "I don't know, but you're going to take me." Well, he picked him up and took him to the police station. Well, when the wife got up there and they saw that he wasn't there, naturally they went to the police station. As they walked in, this policeman, he walked up there and said, "You looking for a boy?" And the wife, "Yes." Tears streaming down her eyes. He said, "I got him." He goes in the room and he comes back out leading him. "Is this him?" "Yes." Naturally, the wife grabbed him and hugged him. This is what my son said. "Mama, this is my friend." The greatest friend that man has ever had, my friend, we find is a friend, my friend, indeed. I've heard that all my life. A friend in need is a friend indeed. I want to look why. Why is he the greatest friend of all? First, because of who he is. Huh? Because of who he is. You look at John 1, verse 1. My friend, it tells you he's God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's the greatest because of who He is. I think so much, my friend, and I can't understand the word Trinity. I can't get it all together, but I believe there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen. Yes, He's God. But not only, my friend, is He God, but He's also man. As we said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. You go to verse 14 of that chapter. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The greatest friend, my friend. Why? Because of who He is, my friend, it is my who of my friend, or what you might say. What he did, he took on flesh. And as a result, my friend, by assuming the human nature, he could truly be the great friend.
Amen.
You see, he was tempted like man. And I think about his temptation. And then I begin to look back through the Scripture and I find how that God describes mankind through His Word. Remember, for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus had fasted. Nothing to eat. 40 days and 40 nights. I can't hardly stand from breakfast to supper. But for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And the devil came to him. Tempted him. And there were three ways, three manners in which he was tempted by Satan. And the first is by survival. He had fasted for 40 days and nights. Hunger. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, make this stone into bread. I'm thinking about a man, and Brother Glenn, you mentioned it in class this morning. No. The superintendent did. Where's he at? There he is, back yonder. He mentioned Esau. Now this is what Jesus said to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone. Esau, my friend, he came to Jacob and he said, give me something to eat. I'm fainting. I'm dying. The fact that Jesus was the great friend and he overcame for us. Secondly, the devil said unto Jesus, said, if you stumble, what? There will be the angels to lift thee up. Let me tell you, my friend, the weakness of man. That's why Esau, my friend, gave in for survival. The weakness of his flesh. But that's man. And that's what Jesus did when he was tempted, my friend. He portrayed, my friend, how that we are human and how that we're made. In the book of Psalm, chapter 37, I'm sure that most of you is familiar with this, but I'm going to turn over there and read it to make sure that I'll read it like it's written. 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now listen to this. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, my friend, to think that we as Christians, my friend, that we stumble daily. You see, we're attacked every day, my friend, by a power that's named Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Weakness of the flesh. That's the battle that goes on in the life of a Christian. You know, I didn't have a problem when I was lost about doing lost things. Huh? I didn't have a problem at all. But I'll tell you right now, since I became a Christian, I got a problem. Every day when I open my eyes and I get out the bed and I put my clothing on and what have you, and I go out forth, my friend, I go out to meet life. And that old rascal, that devil, he's right there every time I walk through that door. But the third thing that the devil tempted Christ in, we as human beings, my friend, we're subject to the same thing. And that is power. Being somebody above the next person. You say, oh, I don't think that we are that away. I'll guarantee you we're that away. I don't care who you are. But he said to Christ, you see all these kingdoms out here. I'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. Yes. Yes. Why is he the greatest friend of all? My friend, because of who he is and what he did.
Amen.
Huh? What did he do? Took on human flesh.
Amen.
Took on mankind. But that's just part of it. My friend, let me tell you. He chose to be the sacrificial lamb of God. God didn't force him. The Father didn't force him to be that lamb. He chose to be the lamb. You know, Adam had the right to choose. He was man. God created man with the ability, my friend, to choose. And Adam chose the way of sin. Yeah. Whenever Christ was brought, my friend, to the point of choice to be the Lamb of God, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah. He chose. Who and why is he the greatest friend of all? Because, my friend, of what he did. What? Let me tell you. When you go back and you read the text again that we brought forth in the book of Proverbs, what did it say? If you be a friend, I'll paraphrase, show me. Show me that you are. Let me tell you, by the death of Jesus, He showed, He proved, my friend, that He was the greatest friend of all. Yeah. The greatest friend. You see, His death was a sinless death, yet He did died for sinners. And this is what the Scripture declares. That He died for sinners, that He went to hell for sinners, and that He rose again for sinners. Huh? The greatest friend, my friend, that the world has ever known, and most today don't know it. That's the sad part. You see, His death, Brother Glenn, you made mention this morning in it, a roundabout way, His death was the price that God the Father demanded, my friend, for the payment of sin. God demanded a sacrifice. He demanded blood be shed. And Jesus, the greatest friend of all, He proved it, my friend, by going to the cross and laying His life down for mankind and their sin. Thirdly, why do I consider Him the greatest friend of all? Not simply because of who He is, not simply because of what He did, but, my friend, what He's doing now. Huh? You see, He didn't just leave us. When He went yonder to heaven, my friend, He didn't leave us. This is what He said. He said, "My Spirit," paraphrasing, "will take over." We're guided by the Spirit, my friend. Jesus personally, my friend, He said unto His disciples, "Follow Me." And they followed Him. But when He went yonder to the eternal heaven from which He came, He told them, He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Huh? All people, they misunderstand the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God and the power of God. Yes. What He did and what He's doing today. Our lives are like a ship. And the bad thing about it is most of our lives, and particularly at times as facts, we get caught in a storm. I got a story. Time may prevent me from telling all of it. But I got a story. When I was in service, I went overseas to Europe. Before we got off of the ship, we were handed our papers. "Look these over." And I looked them over, and when I went into basic training, there was a man by the name of Fred L. Stewart from Bridgeport, Oklahoma. Married, had 3 children, and wife pregnant with the 4th. My name was Fred D. Stewart. I was 18 years old. Never even thought about marriage. But when I looked at those records, the record was Fred L. Stewart. So I go to my commander and I said, "Hey, I got the wrong papers. We'll take care of it." I got my first check, by the way. Then we drawed $50 a month. I got my first check and I had $7. So I go to my commander, how come I only got $7? $7, I didn't need it anyway. You couldn't buy nothing over there. Wasn't nothing for sale. You see, we're talking about a war. He said, well, let me check it out. He checked it out. He said, well, you sent your allotment home. I said, what allotment? He said, you sent it to your wife. I said, I'm not even married. So I tell him the story. We'll take care of it. About a year and a half later, my whole outfit but one sergeant and me shipped out. I go down and, what? How come? How come I didn't go with my outfit? You don't have no records of being over here. I was in Bremerhaven, Germany. You don't have any records. So I tell him the story. They take me to the staging area. That's where you shipped out. I went out there. They say, see Colonel Safibosh. So I went down the next day and I saw a man by the name of Colonel Safibosh. Now that's quite a name, ain't it? I ain't never forgot it. He said, we'll take care of it. He cut paper. 2 days later, I was on a ship headed home. But wait a minute. As our life, my friend, we have storms at times. We got in a storm. My friend, let me tell you, if you've ever been on a ship or a boat and you hit a storm, you know what I'm talking about. My friend, those waves will raise you up like this. You'll be completely out of water, and here you come back down and you hit that water. And what a feeling. A storm. It rent the valves, and so they pulled us up the Thames River to London, England. I got to see England that way. We jumped overboard, a couple of few of us, that night went into England, went into the town. Well, my point is this. Time's running out. My point is this. My friend, I got back on that ship and we started on home. It took me 22 days to make an 11-day trip because of the storm. My friend, let me tell you, not because of why is he's who he is. What he did and what he's doing. My friend, today, let me tell you, when we hit the storms of life, he's there, my friend, as an anchor. Yea, my friend, that ship don't move. It's anchored in love divine. Yeah. What, my friend, what a feeling to know, my friend, that we've got a friend that when the life, my friend, seeks to take over, we've got someone that has got us anchored down. Amen. Though we fall, we shall not utterly be cast down. Amen. Yes, in times of sorrow, he's our comfort. Amen. I can witness to that, Amen. As well as many others here. Comfort in sorrow. Not only that, my friend, the perils of life itself. The Bible says in the last days there are going to be perilous times. Well, I wonder about those things. think about them. But this I do know, that I've got a friend that's going to take care of me. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Yes. Last but not least, why I considered him the greatest friend of all. Because of who he is. Because of what he did. Because of what he's doing. And because of what he will do. Huh? What will he do? My friend, I want to tell you what. I'm looking forward to this time. You say, well, Brother Fred, you want to die? No. No, that ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to live. And one of these days, my friend, if death overtakes me, I'm going to live again. Because of what he's going to do. You see, he's coming again. And I know and realize that according to his word, he's going to take vengeance, my friend, upon those that has harmed his people. But I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about, my friend, is when he comes again, he's going to take me with him.
Amen.
Where are you going? I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Where are you going?
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? You ever think about it? I'm sure that you have. At least I'm convinced that you probably have. If you reach the age of accountability, I know you have. I know that you have. You see, he's coming again. And he's got a purpose behind it. And that is to receive his own to himself. He said in John 14 and verse 1 through 6, I won't read it all. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, you see, the greatest friend I've ever had is Jesus Christ, my friend, who is God, who is Son, and who is Spirit. Now, I wonder this morning, I wonder today, what about you? Now, let me tell you what a friend he is, even to you this morning. That in the last chapter of his word, he offers an invitation. Huh? He offers verse 17 of chapter 22 of Revelation. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is thirst come. And take of the water of life freely. We're going to have a song. While the song, the pianist leader comes. Song leader and pianist. I don't know your heart today. I'm convinced, or at least I'm prayerful. I'm convinced that God, if you're here lost, has made you know.
Amen.
Huh? I'm convinced of that. Because you see, that's the purpose of His Spirit in the church.
Amen.
So what about it? Do you know where you stand with God? If not, would you come while we stand and while we sing?
Number 295 in the Red Book.
Number 295. May God bless you this morning.
Amen.